Good evening. Tonight we're going to talk about awaiting difference. So this is lifted from a letter that the Rebbe wrote at the conclusion of his mother's Kaddish, 11 months after her passing. We know that the Rebbe grieved for his mother in a very, very significant way. A very unusual letter. The Rebbe speaks about the yearning, the anticipation, the awaiting for Mashiach, and how it makes a difference. So let's begin with the very famous words, which are based on the 13 principles of Maimonides, but not authored by the Rambam. In fact, nobody really knows who authored these words. We have the Ani Mamins, the collection of the 13 principles of faith, based on the writings of Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon HaSfardi in his interpretation, his commentary of the Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin, in the introduction to the 11th chapter. It seems that this was originally written as a liturgical poem, something that people didn't necessarily have in writing but could memorize. And the author, his goal was to make the 13 principles of faith something that was ubiquitous, something that people were familiar with. So he created this exquisite language, which you're going to see is based, by and large, on the language employed by the prophets, divine language. And then there's the famous song, Yigdal. Similarly, Adon Olam is also of that genre. So this is printed in many, many Siddurim. Interestingly, it starts off mostly in the Ashkenazic areas of the Jewish world, mostly in Europe, and eventually makes its way to the Sephardic world as well. I think that the words I'm going to mention now are perhaps best known not because of people's recitation of the 13 principles of faith, which is performed in many communities and it's printed in the Siddur, but because it is these words that have been set to some of the most haunting and moving music ever composed by faithful Jews, especially the Ani Mamin, which the Rebbe was very fond of, that embodies the yearning for Mashiach in the worst of times, a song that was composed on a cattle car on the way to the death camp, Treblinka. It's a whole story of how those bars of music reached freedom and became really almost the iconic legacy of the incredible faith that was found during the years of the Holocaust. So the words are, Ani Mamin Bevias HaMashiach, I believe in the coming of Mashiach. Va'af al pi sheyisma meya, and even though he may tarry, he certainly has been tarrying, im kol zeh, nonetheless, despite it all, achak eloi b'chol yoyim sheyovay, I continue to await his coming every single day. And the Rebbe opens his letter, dated on the fifth day of Menachem Av, but in the eve of the sixth day of Av already. And the year was 1965, Tavshin Chof Hei, in the month of Menachem Av. And the Rebbe says, we are in days that we have been promised will be transformed from sadness into joy with the coming of Mashiach. And here he invokes what he refers to as Hanusach HaYedua, the known liturgy. The Rebbe augments the words of that liturgy that I just shared with you, and he adds, Ukma Shenemar, Im Yismamea Chakeloi. If he delays, await him. Now these words, im yismamea, if he will tarry, are lifted from the nevuah, the prophecy of one of the minor prophets known as Habakkuk. Habakkuk, in the second chapter of his prophecies, the third verse, Habakkuk states the following. And it's actually important for us to emphasize that the prophecies of Habakkuk may refer to the downfall of Babylon or even others, possibly. And there are similar prophecies that are found actually in the words of Yirmiyahu as well. But our sages understood that Habakkuk is not only referring to the events in the immediate future, but in fact he's referring to events in a very distant future. And the pasuk reads like this: Ki oid chazoin lamoyed. Ki oid chazon means that this prophecy will still come at its appointed time. As the Mitzudas Tzion tells us, lamoyed. Lamoyed means lizman kavua, there's a set time. So this chazon, this prophetic vision, it'll still come at its appointed time. The Mitzudas David says, this prophecy, these words, milvad hachozoin amapelas bavel. In addition to, beyond the prophecy of the downfall of Babylon, yesh oid chozoin azman kavua. There is another vision, another prophecy, and for an appointed time. And the Mitzudas David says, v'hachozoin hazeh yidaber al keitz hageula. This vision speaks to the appointed time of redemption, the ultimate redemption. Shele yihye achareha shibud. The redemption after which there will be no subjugation. And as we will continue to read in this verse, v'le yichazev, this will not be deceit. Af im yismameya zman rav, even if it ends up being delayed an inordinately long amount of time. And the Mitzudas David kind of explains why it is that Habakkuk is talking about an immediate prophecy, the downfall of Babylon, and at the same time prophesizing about an event that, unfortunately, we know now, will not be unfolding for literally 2,500 years later. That's if Mashiach comes tonight. So the Mitzudas says like this: Lazot tzivisicha levayer es hanavua amapolis bavel. This is why I am commanding you to clearly spell out the prophecy about the downfall of Babylon, leman yedu, so that it will be known. Bevoyu shama, when this happens, when it happens, when it arrives, Shemeh Hashem nasa, this is the hand of God. No, it's not happenstance. It's not because there was another mighty army that invaded. This is the hand of Hashem. I'm telling you in advance, the prophet's going to say this. And people will see, and they will know, and that will give them the gumption, the courage, and the strength to believe in the future redemption. In other words, precisely because the prophet says, here's a prophecy, this is what's going to be happening, and in a distant future, there'll be yet another vision, and the two visions are tethered. And as the first one came to fruition in full color, the second prophecy will unfold as well. That's how the Mitzudas David explains this distant prophecy that Habakkuk is offering. So the prophecy goes on, and Habakkuk says that v'yofeach laketz. Now the word v'yofeach is like, it like means speech. Literally it means to like breath or to like an utterance. Like for example in Mishlei, is there's a word that says yafiach emuna. They'll speak faithfully. And the Mitzudas Tzion says yafiach is inyan dibur. It means speech. Why? Because b'hafachas ruach hapel, when you speak, you exhale. There's air. There's movement. There's breath. So by the breath of speech. And v'yafeach, he says, so yafeach means inyan dibur. That is to say that there is a vision, and it speaks, like it testifies, it articulates for an appointed time. V'lo yechaziv. But this appointed time, it will not deceive. Im yismahama, and if it tarries, chakeloi. Wait, await it. Ki voy yovoy, because it will come. It'll come. V'lo ya'acher, and it will not be indefinitely delayed. Yismahama, the Mitzudas Tzion says, means like hit'akvut, delayed. You know, your plane is, the new plane is supposed to arrive, your plane is supposed to take off, it's delayed. Yeah, they said that 3 hours ago. Well, it's still delayed. So you say, when is this happening already? Chake? Tzudas Tzion interestingly says, it means like there's like a certain hope attached to it when you are hopefully anticipating. So you're awaiting with a sense of optimism and you continue to anticipate in a hopeful way. That's what we're talking about. Now, bepashtos, I mean, like this is it's pretty obvious that whichever one of the Rishonim composed that liturgical poem of or that statement of the 13 attributes or principles of faith, that he was leaning here, im yismahama, he's leaning on the words of Chavakuk, which we can see. The Mitzudas clearly explains is talking about the coming of Mashiach. And the Mitzudas' words are by and large based on the words of the Gemara. And the Rebbe notes in the footnotes of that letter to take a look in the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadik Zayin. Okay, so this is what the Gemara on Daf Tzadik Zayin says. It's page 97, side B, and it's about near the middle of the page. Tanya, Rabbi Nosson, Neymar, Rabbi Nosson taught, Mikra Zeh, Nekev, Ve'yored ad tahim. This verse that I'm about to state, it bores a hole. It drills down till the very abyss. What does that mean? So Rashi says, Ma tahom, ein lo ketz v'sof. Just like the abyss is a word that we use for something that is like dark and mysterious. Nobody knows where the bottom of it is. It's like what we call a bottomless pit. So kach ein adam yochol lamed al sof pasuk zeh. Nobody knows the end of this pasuk, because the end of this pasuk says, even if he tarries. Well, how long is he going to tarry for? Is it an hour? Is it 2 hours? Is it a day? Is it a month? Is it a year? Is it a decade? A century? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. We're still waiting. So im yismahamea, if he delays, chakeloi. Chakeloi. For when? In lay safe. We don't know when. We don't have an appointed time. You know, when people expect something to be happening, they know something's going to be happening. They anticipate it. They await it. People have a wedding date. They're waiting for their wedding. The bride and groom can't wait. The parents, the family can't wait. They're counting down. They're looking forward. You have a family reunion, you're going to meet with somebody you haven't seen, who you love very much, and you're waiting and you're counting down. But here, how do you anticipate? How do you count up to when? Today, okay, and then you know today came and went, and so okay, when? Don't worry, today, tomorrow, it's coming. That's like for 1953 years already. It's a long time. So it's this verse takes us down into the abyss. That's how Rashi explains it. The Yad Rama is a very interesting way of explaining this verse. He says, "Im hagalut ta'aroch kmo tahom." If the galut will go, continue to linger on, like down to the abyss, like endless, a bottomless pit. Yeah, we're kind of there. Yeah, the Ramah was hundreds of years ago. He says, "Mikol makom ha'mikra ze nimshach v'yored." This verse will continue to follow us. It'll go into the abyss with us. It'll accompany us throughout the challenges of galut, ad l'tahom, until we go into the deepest, darkest abyss we could possibly imagine. Umevaser, and this verse ultimately brings us the news, shelebasof, in the end, yizku l'geula. We will merit. We will merit redemption. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara now quotes the verse. The Gemara says, "Ki oid chazen lamoyed, v'yefeach l'keitz v'leichazer." This is the verse I just read to you from Chavakuk. Im yisma me'ach hakeloi. Now, interestingly, there's a very similar statement which is made in the Zohar, Chelek Gimel in the Zohar, which is, it's kind of the Raya Mehemna portion of the Zohar. It's on Parshas Kiseitze. On Daf Resh Ayin Tes, on page 279, right at the beginning of the page, the Zohar is talking about the concept of things that we're waiting for. It's talking about the future that hasn't yet materialized. And the Zohar says like this. The Tamon, for there in the great abyss, which is a euphemism for knowing when Mashiach comes, the secret of redemption, that it is written, ki oid chazen lamoyed, that there is a vision for an appointed time, a vision of redemption, a vision of geula. The Ofeach lekeitz, that this prophecy speaks of, testifies to an appointed time of redemption, v'lo yechazev, and it will not be deceiving. It's real. Yes, Mashiach is going to come, 100% certain. So if it delays, you have to wait for it. The Zohar says, v'akmuha, and our sages said about this, the haikra, that this verse of Chavakuk's prophecies, Nokev v'yorim ad tohom rabba. It drills down into the deepest of abyss. And as we just read in Rashi, just like an abyss has no end, seems bottomless, so too. Nobody is able to know what the meaning of this is. In other words, nobody can possibly know when Mashiach will come. Man hu denoches l'tohoim rabba, la'ashkocha zimnada. Who is the one who is able to dive deeply into this abyss and eventually reach the end and know the end? He says, Ella ant, only you. And this refers to Moshe, who is the Raya Mehemna, the shepherd of faith. The Itmar Boch, that it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Tzidkotcha kahara rekel mishpatecha tohom rabba, that by virtue of Moshe Rabbeinu, it is possible for one to reach Tohom Rabba, the very deepest depth. It's interesting that we recite this verse, which is kind of like almost like a mournful verse. We recite it on Shabbat afternoon, and on Shabbat afternoon we commemorate the passing of a number of outstanding Jewish leaders. Amongst them, or first amongst them, is Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Okay. So there you have it. There's this verse that says Mashiach will tarry, he will delay, chakele. And presumably, the author of Da'ani Mamen was leaning on that verse in Chavakuk when he kind of shortened the words of the Rambam, both in Mishneh Torah, where the Rambam tells us that Misha eino mamin bo, somebody doesn't believe in Mashiach, or eino mechakele biyaso, doesn't await his coming, that he denies the Torah. The Rambam speaks about this very clearly in the 12th principle. So he leaned on the words of Chavakuk in order to make this statement. And here's the question now. The question is, does this awaiting make a difference? Does it make a difference if we do or don't await? In other words, okay, I understand. Don't give up. He's saying, Afalpi Shisma Meya, even though he tarries, Afalpi, nonetheless, Achakelo, I'll still await him. I'm pretty sure that for a lot of people, they sing that song and read those words and think, I'm not gonna give up. I'm not gonna give up. I'm still gonna nurture and maintain hope in a better tomorrow. That Mashiach's coming. But are they actively anticipating and awaiting? And does that actually make a difference? This is the question. So the balance of this class is going to be to demonstrate that awaiting makes a world of difference. Specifically for Mashiach, whom we await. So the Rebbe, he says, Yehi Ratzon, may it be Hashem's will, that all of this should come. This should come very speedily. B'mheira, b'yameinu, b'karav mamash. By the way, this is in Chelek Chav Gimel of the Igros Kodesh, of the Rebbe's letters. It's on page Tuf Chof Zion, for those who want to look at it inside, which is 427. It is the 9,010th letter that's printed in the series. So the Rebbe now wants to focus on the fact that yes, this does make a difference. And the Rebbe simply notes, Al pi hamuva bekama mekaymes, based on what is written in numerous places, yesh loymar, we could pretty confidently say, asher al yedei shemechakim loy, that by virtue of our awaiting, ze atzmai makdim bi'at ha-mashiach, our awaiting for Mashiach in and of itself accelerates the process. Now the Rebbe doesn't source this. He doesn't say which places he means, b'chama mekomoto. I can't know with certainty. But here are two interesting things that I found. And then the Rebbe will kind of bring his own proof. Prove this from the words of the sages themselves. And these words, im yisma machakelo, the Ben Yehoyada, in his commentary on Masechet Sanhedrin, says this. The verse says that if he tarries, if the appointed time isn't here yet, and we're waiting for a very long time for this appointed time, and nobody knows when it's coming. So not only should you not give up hope. Adrabe, he says, techakeloi, await it. Await him even more. And the Ben Yehoyada wrote, in five words, he said, ubizchut shetechakelo tizkilagula. By virtue, by merit of your awaiting, you will merit redemption. Now, the thing with the words of the Ben Yehoyada, he says, by merit of your waiting, you will merit redemption. He doesn't say Mashiach will come faster per se. He speaks about you being meritorious. So maybe it means you live a longer life. It's a privilege to be around when Mashiach comes. I hope we have that privilege in Meretz Hashem. So you will merit. It's a thing for you. That's the language that Ben Yehoyada uses. The Chofetz Chaim, in his commentary on the Nevi'im, speaks about this verse at a fair length. And the Chofetz Chaim asks a simple question. He says, the intimation of the verses, Im Yechake, if you will await, Ozu Yavai, then he comes. Avalim lo yechake, but if you won't await, Lavai doesn't come. So the Chafetz Chaim's question was, why does the coming of Mashiach have to depend on whether somebody's waiting for Mashiach. Like, why does it depend on the waiting? Why does the awaiting make a difference? That's essentially his question. And the Chafetz Chaim explained it in a very interesting way. He says that we know that we have to pray for Mashiach. And we've talked about this numerous times in previous episodes, the importance of praying for Mashiach. and that the fact that it's a part of our prayers is a proof that it's a need, not a luxury. That was the immediate past episode. But we talked about this earlier, the importance of praying, and we will talk about the importance of praying for the coming of Mashiach. So the Chafetz Chaim said, he says, if you don't anticipate Mashiach, then how will you pray for him? How will you pray for something that you don't really care about or don't feel you need or don't desire? You know, when we pray for an abundant livelihood, if you don't have that livelihood, you pray with greater fervor. If you're concerned about, heaven forfend, losing that livelihood, you're going to daven with greater kavana. If you have, chas v'shalom, a member of the family or a close friend who is ill, you say refa'enu, you pray for healing with greater devotion, because it's personal. If you're praying for Mashiach, but Mashiach's not on your radar, couldn't give a hoot if Mashiach comes or not, what kind of prayer is that? And prayer makes a difference. So the Chafetz Chaim says, in that case, Ein zo bakasha ra'uya, then your request, it lacks integrity. It's not the real deal. It's not a proper request, not a proper prayer. He says something very interesting. He says, Adam Chacham, a wise person, Inu yochel lekabel es pnei Mashiach b'li sheyitkaven yitkonen lekach. You can't accept or receive Mashiach unless you prepare yourself for it. So, what are you doing to prepare yourself for it? What is it? Are you awaiting Mashiach? Is that, that's how you able to bring Mashiach. That's how you pray for Mashiach. So if we chakelo, the Navi tells us, we should anticipate, we should await. And if we anticipate and if we await, then invariably we will pray with greater fervor. And if we pray with greater fervor, Mashiach will come faster. That's as the Chafetz Chaim explains it. He also says something which we've touched on in previous episodes. He says, it says chakelo. It says wait for Mashiach. That means for Mashiach, not for healing, not for release of hostages, not for destruction of evil, not for peace, serenity, and security. I mean, because those things could happen without Mashiach coming. It is fully conceivable. Why shouldn't it be conceivable that our hostages should be miraculously released? That the monstrous baby-beheading rapist murderers should be killed as they deserve to be killed. And that the forces of ethical morality should be able to do so without suffering or sustaining losses. I mean, like, you don't need Mashiach for that. You need just a few well-placed miracles. It's just Hashem's help us, His angels to go along with Chayalei Tzahal. That's all you need. The person who doesn't have Parnassa and can't pay his bills and finds the whole world foreclosing on him, he doesn't need Mashiach. He just needs to win a big lottery, a Powerball, that's all. The person who's suffering with terrible illness just needs to find out there's an enormous breakthrough. They just discovered a new wonder drug and he's healed. Or he just experiences healing, a miracle. You don't need Mashiach for that. We talked about this many times. So the Chafetz Chaim says, if you don't anticipate Mashiach, chakelo, wait for Mashiach. The problem is we're not waiting for Mashiach. That's the issue. We talked about this a lot in previous episodes. What's Mashiach about? We talked about Mashiach's about knowledge of Hashem. Mashiach's about the awareness of the Creator that pervades all of existence. Are you waiting for that? Or are you waiting for an end to misery and suffering and hatred and anti-Semitism and fears and anxieties? And if you're waiting for those things, you're not waiting for Mashiach. So he says, Chakel loy. And then you'll anticipate Mashiach. And then you'll pray for Mashiach. And you'll pray for the right. You'll pray for Mashiach for real. So the thing is this. The Chofetz Chaim's words are that it makes a difference if you anticipate. Because if you anticipate, then you pray. So really what makes the difference is your prayers. That's really what makes the difference. But you won't daven. You won't be mitpalel unless you have anticipation. It's very similar, incidentally, to the words that the Rebbe said, about learning about Mashiach. It's like the same kind of message. If you don't learn about Mashiach, how are you going to anticipate Mashiach? If you don't anticipate Mashiach, how are we daven for Mashiach? It's incongruous. You can't expect that to if you don't make the effort, no deposit, no return. But what about awaiting itself? Does awaiting itself make a difference? So in the Ben Yoyada's words, you are more meritorious. In the Chofetz Chaim's explanation, it leads to something which accelerates the process of redemption. But does it itself accelerate the process of redemption? And the Rebbe says yes. Yes. Based on what? So the Rebbe says, let's go forward in the Gemara. The Gemara says that this teaching from Yeshayahu has... It makes a certain point, and it demonstrates to us how numerous teachings about appointed times for Mashiach would be ultimately inaccurate. I'm not going to go through the Gemara now. That's for a different episode, a different class. But the Gemara finishes off a little bit later on in the page, I guess a little bit past halfway through Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says like this. Amr Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said, Amr Reb Yonason, Tipech Hatzomen Shel Mechash V'Kitzim. These people who are busy making calculations and telling you Mashiach comes now and or soon, he says, it's not let their bones rot. Let them. These are terrible people. Why? Because what happens is Kivin Sheyegiyah Esaketz. The point of time comes. V'Leibah Mashiach didn't come, and people they just lose hope. That's not good. Ella Chakeloy Denavi said. Await him. Don't stop hoping. Don't stop yearning. Don't stop anticipating. Await him continuously. Shenemarim yismama chakele. So now the Gemara says, very interesting. So we actually have to await Mashiach. I mean, the prophet's telling us, chakele. So the Gemara says, Shema toimar, lest you will say, Onu mechakim, we are awaiting Mashiach. We need Mashiach. But Vahu, God himself, eini mechaka, that's mistaken. He says, not so. Talmud Loimar, the verse comes and teaches me. Lochein, therefore, yechake Hashem lechanenchem. Hashem, he says, is awaiting to grant you favor. Hashem is waiting to grant you a favor. And Lochein Yorim L'Rachmechem. Therefore, Hashem is exalted to grant you this mercy. So the Pasuk, which is found in the 30th chapter of the prophecies of Isaiah, Yeshayahu, Hanavi, speaks about a time when the Jewish people have sinned, unfortunately. And Hashem longs for an opportunity to be able to bring us the benefits that he promised all of us. And that's like the exalted level that we've disappointed Hashem time and again, but he hasn't stopped awaiting and anticipating our return. And then awaiting and anticipating, granting us favor, which is the coming of Mashiach. So that's what the Pasuk says. Ki Elokei Mishpat, Hashem is a God of justice. In the end, we're going to hear about those who await being happy and fortunate. So the Gemara says, one second. Hey, what? You mean to say that we're anticipating Mashiach? I mean, I'm sure we are because the prophet told us we have to, and the Gemara just emphasized it. So we're awaiting Mashiach. God Almighty is awaiting Mashiach. Okay, so if we're waiting for Mashiach and God is waiting for Mashiach, so then, like, why is it Mashiach here? So Mima Akev, who's stopping? Machashonu Mechakim, Vuhu Mechakim, Mima Akev. So, okay, why are we still here in Galut? What's going on here? So the Gemara says, Midas Adin Makevis, the measure of judgment. We're not measuring up, my friends. We're falling short, unfortunately. As they say, facts matter. So the Gemara says, so if the facts matter, and if we aren't measuring up to deserve the coming of Mashiach, so ono lama machakim, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? And the one answer is lekabel sachar, to receive reward. Because the end of that pasuk is Ashrei kol choikei loy. Fortunate are all of those who await him. Now, by the way, what exactly is the question of the Gemara? Gemara says, like, v'chimacha shemidas dimakeves, lo manu mechakam, why are we waiting? What's the give and take? God is waiting and we're waiting, so what's stopping it? And the answer is, you know, the facts matter and we're not deserving yet. So why are we waiting? What kind of question is that? So we're waiting, so maybe we will be deserving. So the Maharsha says something very interesting. Maharsha says, Anu lanu mechakim. He says, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yodei Azman HaKeitz. God knows exactly when Mashiach is coming. So God's awaiting that moment, just like the bride and groom are awaiting their wedding day. Aval anu, she'ein anu yedin, we don't know zmanai. So lo manu mechakim. And here, the Maharsha invokes a very interesting verse from the book of Proverbs. And the verse is, tochelet mimushocha machala lev. Expectations that continue to be delayed and deferred for an extended and very long period of time, they sicken the heart. He says, we're going to get ourselves a heart disease over here. Techeles memusheches is machles leiv. So the Gemara says, why would we put ourselves in that situation? Why would we make it possible for us to chas v'shalom have some kind of heart disease? And the Gemara says, "Kedei lekabel schar al tzar u'machalas alev." If we'll be heartsick about it, we'll be rewarded for that heart sickness. So we're heartbroken. How much can the heart suffer? How much can we put up with? The fact that it actually bothers us, the fact that we don't have peace because Mashiach didn't come, and we're anticipating and awaiting Mashiach's coming every single day, that actually makes us meritorious. It actually makes us meritorious. It actually makes us deserving of Mashiach's coming. So the Rebbe says, if you look at that Gemara and you look at this idea of schar, this idea of the reward, the Rebbe goes back and says, so in that case, based on the words of the Gemara, it's pretty clear that the anticipation, the awaiting itself makes the difference. And the Rebbe says, taking this idea, kind of taking what the Ben Yehuda and the Chofetz Chaim say, taking it further, not just emphasizing that you become meritorious or that it leads you to better prayer, but the very fact that you are waiting, anticipating, you're getting a reward, that it, Gemara, it sweetens the Gemara. It says, Yumtak. This is what the Gemara says. Mechaken lemekabel schar. Why? Here the Rebbe invokes a gewaldige maxim. Because we have this tradition that midosei shel Hashem hu mida keneged mida. That God does things commensurate to our efforts. Like it says, kol ha-marachem, marachamim alav. If you behave compassionately and mercifully to others, Hashem will be compassionate and merciful to you. In other words, if we will be heartsick over Mashiach's delay, if we will continue to anticipate and await Mashiach, then the reward has to be the arrival of Mashiach. Mida keneged mida. That's what we're waiting for. That's what Hashem should respond to. And the Rebbe now adds four words. Ve'elikim yasa l'mechakelei. Hashem does to those who await. These words, in the footnote he says, can be found in chapter 64 of the prophecies of Isaiah. And especially, he says, look at the Targum. Okay. So we go to Sefer Yeshayahu. And here, Yeshayahu HaNavi says, it's in verse 3 of the 64th chapter of his prophecies. He says, all these things we're hearing about. Me'elum l'shamu. Lo'yhazino ayin. We never heard about these things. We never saw it. Lo'yrasa. Elekim. Zulascha. Only you, God. So the Rebbe quotes the word Elikim, and he says, Ya'asa l'mechake loy. He will do for the one who awaits him. The Mitzudas Dava says, Ya'asa kidvarim ha'elo. These very words that Yeshayahu HaNavi is talking about, that Rashi explains in great length, are referring to the coming of Mashiach and the ultimate redemption, that these very things Ya'asa Hashem will do, to who? L'mechake loy. To the one who awaits Mashiach. And the Mitzudas David says, Kidvarim ha'elu el mi asher mechake loy uma'an min boy. For the one who awaits and believes in him. And think about the words of the Chofetz Chaim. Yechake loy. Mashiach, the real Mashiach. What Mashiach is really about. Once again, the Mitzvah Tzion tells us that Mechake is inyan tikva. It's an optimistic anticipation. It's a hopeful awaiting. The Targum says, the Misabrin, that you are waiting, lefurkonecho, or lefurkonoch. Furkon is redemption. So it doesn't say just you're awaiting Hashem, you're awaiting redemption. And the Rebbe says that with the words of the Gemara, based on the principle of Mida Keneged Mida, and then to see the way Yeshayahu HaNavi says, Elikim will do Yasa L'mechak Eloi, which is very similar to the words that we find in Chavakuk, that the Gemara quoted, Chak Eloi. So he says, from this we can understand that the anticipation, the awaiting itself makes a difference. And the Rebbe now adds, Sheharei, al yedeze moisifin bizochu. By virtue of this waiting, we are adding in the zochu. And if we're adding in the zochu, zochu means they will be meritorious. Ubimela, so naturally, magdilim umakdimim es hamesuvav. We are magnifying, we are accelerating the cause of the zochu, which is achishena, in a hasty arrival. So there's a gemara which is found not far away from where we are now on daf tzadik ches, and the gemara says over there that Amar Rebbe Alexandri said in the name of Rebbe Shua ben Levi. He says there seems to be a contradiction. Shua ben Levi Ram, we asked. Ksiv, we have this verse which is found in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 22, and it says over there, Be'ita, Mashiach will come in its appointed time, and then it says he will come Achishena. Achishena means Hashem will hasten it. So the question is that there's a verse that addresses Hashem's commitment to redeem the Jewish people. And in the verse, Hashem says that I will bring it in its time and I will hasten it. So it's written in its time, which indicates that there's a specific time for the coming of Mashiach. And then it's written Be'ita, right, in its time. And it's written Bachishena, I will hasten it, which indicates that there's no set time for Mashiach coming. And it can come at any time, whenever Hashem hastens it. So Rabbi Elizandri explains, Zochu, if we merit redemption, and that comes through tshuva and through Maisim Tevim, so then, Achishena, Hashem will hasten it. Leizochu, if we don't merit redemption, then the coming of Mashiach will be in its appointed time. That's what the Rebbe is referring to that Gemara. So the Rebbe says, so being more meritorious necessarily primes us or induces and causes a hastening of the coming of Mashiach. So the Rebbe says, so what would be more meritorious than the merit, which clearly you're getting rewarded for, and the reward should always be in the manner of Mida Keneged Mida. So we're becoming more meritorious. If we're more meritorious, we should be magnifying and accelerating the arrival of Mashiach. So yes, awaiting Mashiach makes all the difference. And the Rebbe notes this Gemara. And the Rebbe also notes that in the end of the first Purim Maimer in Sha'arei Oira, which is called Yaviyu Levush, they should bring the garment, and the Mittler Rebbe goes on in incredible length explaining what the garment and the horse represent, and that dramatic moment in history when Haman is instructed to go and bring these things to Mordechai. So at the end of the Maimer in the 96th chapter, the Mittler Rebbe, he says, and I'll share with you a few excerpts. He says that this business of the levush and the sus, the garments and the horse, they are emblematic of the sparks of godliness that have to be elevated during the course of Galut. It's called Rapach Nitzutz, it's 288 sparks that are strewn into or throughout the strata of existence. And we have to elevate them by virtue of utilizing material things for holy purposes. And the idea, he says, is to turn things around, to redeem all the sparks so that Mashiach can come in a way of achishena. And the Mittler Rebbe says the most fantastic thing here, he says. Im zochu Yisrael, if the Jewish people merit with tshuva and maisim tovim, with acts of profound return and restoration of our relationship with Hashem and good deeds. And what happens is, v'yizbarer al yodom birurim, we are able to affect or bring about this refinement of our world. So we're able to do it in haste and accelerate the process before the appointed time. He says, then what happens is that all of the negativity will be neutralized. So there's no longer negativity, but that which was naturally negative before will become transformed into good because we've already redeemed all the negativity. And he says like this, he says, everything that isn't wholly good, that is klipa, that is extraneous, that it merely serves a purpose, it serves a specific purpose till a certain time. And once that time comes, its time is expired. It ceases to exist. Hashem doesn't want it to be, it simply isn't. Just like in the generation of the Mabel, Hashem decided that I'm done. Vayinochem Hashem, Hashem regretted it, and that was it. So he says, if we wait till Mashiach comes, if we wait to the expiration date, then all of these things which aren't inherently holy, they're all going to disappear. But he says, but if we merit the acceleration of the process, so then these things can still exist because their expiration date hasn't been reached, but the negativity will be neutralized. And he brings an example of violent animals that we know. It says, the Pasuk says that Aryeh Kabokar Yechel Tevin, that the lion is going to be eating hay like a cow. And he says, Le'yorei over le'yashchisu. They won't be, their predatory, cruel natures are going to disappear. He says, now the wolf, the lion, they are cruel and vicious predatory animals who have no compassion whatsoever, literally tear their prey. But he says, when Mashiach will come, if we can accelerate this, the lion will still be there, but he'll be a little kitten. And the wolf will be a little dachshund. He'll be a cute little dog, because its negative nature will be taken away. But that only comes if we hasten and speed things up. So the more we anticipate Mashiach, the quicker we're able to effectuate this process. And the awaiting, in and of itself, makes all the difference. That's the first part of this letter, and I'm going to conclude this session here. And Bezrat Hashem, when we're back for the 50th episode, we're going to return to this letter, and the Rebbe adds an extraordinary next level appreciation of this idea that anticipation makes a difference. And I hope and pray that before we can talk about episode 50, Mashiach will finally have come, and that as you and I are studying Torah and trying together to intensify our anticipation, our awaiting for the coming of Mashiach, that we be zeicha, that we merit the coming of Mashiach b'poel mamash. Thank you for joining. Please like, please share, please subscribe. Please choose to sponsor our classes so we can continue to promulgate messages of hopeful anticipation of not only a better, but the very best tomorrow of all, Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu, the Poel Mamash, in our time. Amen. Thank you for joining.